This is the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Now here come a song that they make popular. Don't you know many blacks write songs better than that? And you never hear them because they're not serving the purpose. Yeah, the best songs you don't hear because they don't serve the machinery. All right, so here now comes a song. Love, love, and peace, love, peace, all this. That's taking your mind off of the specifics and making it general. So now you're not in tune with the specifics. You're only in tune with the general, that we need love. So you start neglecting the issues. And all you want to do is have a party. So they put you right back into spirituality, right? They've taken you out of a sense again and put you into spirituality. So you go and you're just singing in songs and everybody just happy. Oh, love, 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 love. Girl, here comes a white girl. Kiss me. I never saw her before in my life. Meet me on the street. Kiss me. Thank you. Peace. And everybody see one raped out there on this broad daylight, raped out there on the curb while the people trying to pass. Obstructing the traffic on the curb, on the walk, sidewalk. He raping this girl. Because she said peace and this man, this black nigga belly. He thought his dream was being fulfilled. Peace and love. Peace and love. He said, peace, peace, peace. Police, police, police. Police, police. What happened here, lady? What happened here, lady? Police. He doesn't love humanity. I gave him, I said, peace. And he raped me. He raped me. I love humanity. Say, lady, next time, don't say peace to a nigga like that. It is not our fault. The world is manipulating us. Yeah, not our fault. So they waste the society. They know how to manipulate. They got the science of your behavioral nature. And they can waste the society. And Allah intended this science for us, for his servants. He revealed it through the prophets for us. And the devil, he got it by what? Still. Isn't that what the Quran said? Yeah. Say they used to sneak for hearing. Yeah, still hearing. Yeah. Says now that the Quran has been revealed, they say, the jinn says, nobody can steal now. Say we used to do it, but this is a wonderful recital. We bear witness that it is from God. Say we used to steal the hearing, but anyone who does that now finds shooting flames of fire. Yes, right. Can't steal no more. He can't steal from the Quran. What he's gonna steal? He better not use what he steals. If he use what he steals, he's gonna liberate the masses. Well, no stealing from this book. It's a universal message. That's right. All right. Okay, now we came to the cross, death on the cross as it's symbolically given. Then the taking of the body down, from the cross, putting it in the cave. Then the rolling of the stone back says, and they came to do their regular ritual, and they saw the stone rolled back. And when they looked where he was laying, they didn't see him, but they saw his head wrapped there where he had lain. Is that not right? What is a head wrap? Head wrap is symbolic of what covers and hides the knowledge. And the head wrap was taken off, meant that he had broken through. He had broken through the clouds, broken through the wraps. He had broken through that symbolism that wouldn't allow his intellect to blossom and come forth. See, so the handkerchief that they had wrapped his head with was seen there. Say, he's gone. And that was a sign. Them finding that head wrapped there was a sign that he was resurrected. Now, couldn't it just been a sign that somebody had tampered with his body? How come it had to be the sign he was resurrected? See, you should understand. If you don't know, you should understand just by what I'm telling you, that these things have great meaning. There's a sign that his head had been freed. His head had been freed. And what does the wrap cover? It covers the head. But what? The head already have a cover, doesn't it? The hair. It covers the hair, right? Oh, yes. And you find those who belong to the priest orders that go bald-headed, most of them don't cover their heads. They go with their heads exposed, don't they? But those who have hair, they cover their heads. But you notice some of them just cover part of their hair, like the Jews. The Jews cover part of his head. The Jew make a little skull cap to put on the back part of his head. Like that, to cover the bald spot, right? So he be covering the bald spot. Whereas the other Asian monks, they have bald head, they show their bald head. And most of the Pakistanis and other Indians, pardon me, they cover the hair. They cover the hair. And women are supposed to cover what? Their hair. They're supposed to cover their hair. So the hair is symbolic of a knowledge. The hair is dead, you know that? The hair grows out of living matter. But the hair itself is dead matter. Dead in terms of you having blood or fillings in your hair. No blood, no fillings in the hair. That's why you cut nothing, right? Cut no fillings, cut dead. So here is a covering protecting your head that itself is supplied by blood. Of course, without blood coming to the scalp, you don't get no hair. Here is a covering that's supplied by life, but it's dead. And it's protecting your head, right? So that should give you some idea of what it represents. What's dead that protects our head? Knowledge. Knowledge yesterday that's no longer used is given to people in secret society, and to them it's living knowledge. But it's knowledge gotten from the dead. You understand? In other words, it's terminology out of the crypt. Crypt, you know crypt? Crypt is the death vault, the vault for the dead. It's knowledge out of the crypt, where they bury the people, put the body. And there's a word called cryptology. Look it up in the dictionary. It has nothing to do with the dead. It's language. It's secret language. Secret language, cryptology, secret language. That's cryptology. Cryptology. All right? So so the hair, it comes out of the living skin, but it's dead, and it covers the head. So symbolic wisdom protects the living head. Right? If what I'm saying is right, then the symbolic knowledge from the ancient, from old days, that used to be living knowledge, now they use it secretly as living knowledge. But in history, or in the life of the people, it's dead. Isn't Latin a dead language? But if you want to become a priest, don't you have to study in Latin? Yeah. And didn't they cut it off? Didn't they cut off Latin? Yeah, you have to understand these things. You have to understand the powerful things that the world does. And then you have to have faith in the man to tell you these things. Right. And then that's how we grow a strong society. That's how we dignify our people. All right. Okay. So the sign of that he had been resurrected was the wrap taken off his head. In other words, the dead language was revealed. And language is the key for Jesus, because it says, in the beginning there was the Word. Right? In the beginning there was the Word. And the Quran says, and he is a kalimatan, a word from Allah. Is that not right? So actually he himself, in the most important way, in the most significant sense, Jesus is revelation. In the most significant sense, Jesus is revelation. But then revelation forms what? People. And people form habits and culture and et cetera. But it begins with what? Revelation. The Word. You see? So, as it begins with the Word, they hide it with the Word. They hide the Word. They hide it in dead language. Don't you know the cross itself means dead? Yeah. They have a cross, there's a cross called Hallow Cross. It means language that preserves, but yet when you go into it, you don't find anything. They have worked with it so well that if you go into it, you won't even find the essence. You won't find the meat. That's right. What is a cliche? A cliche is a worn out expression. Is that not right? A cliche. But look up the word cliche in the dictionary, and you'll find that there's another word by another spelling pronounced the same, cliche, and it's a cross. See, that's what God has guided me to. All of these things. So I don't care where you came from. You can come from the top of the Shriner's Order, and you ain't there. I don't care where you came from. I'm your master. Ain't no way for you to get around it. No way for you to get around it. You don't know nothing compared to what God has shown me. Nothing to compare with what God has shown me. I could talk to you for my lifetime and never tell you everything that I have seen that God has shown me. And Allah is my witness. I don't think I have enough years to tell you everything. I just do my best. All right. Now, praise be to Allah. I believe some of you believe it now. When we started out, it was hard, but I think some of you really believe now. Praise be to Allah. Our dear beloved people, if you know the world can't defeat you. You can defeat yourself. You can be stupid and go and disobey the guidance, the knowledge that you got, and be stupid. You defeat yourself, but they can't defeat you no more. Mm-mm, not when you know them. That's why I stand up and talk to you the way I do. Some of you think I'm high, think I'm excited. No, I'm not excited. I know that they cannot do anything with me. Not a thing. And I don't need them. They don't help me nothing. They ain't got nothing to give me. What they got to give me? Here I am, son of Almighty Elijah Muhammad, came under his teachings, been struggling with the Nation of Islam. Now I've lived among the non-Muslims. In prison for 16 months, in the world out there with them, walking around with them. I know their life. Went to college, and as soon as the man started talking, I said, what is wasting my time like this for? Yeah, he's looking for a way to twist my body. He want to twist my nature. I came there to get some knowledge so I can be more useful to society. And he's looking at me and say, oh, you're a threat because you don't think the way we do. So why should I sit there before that and let him try to change my nature? So I done came through all of that. Now I have talked 6-7 years ago. I have given talks and I saw priests and ministers that I know have knowledge in Christianity. Fascinated. And when I finished talking, they come, oh, they're so fascinated. So brother, I'm so happy. It's an honor for me to be here. So what's making them speak like that? God must have given me something. about 6 or 7 years ago. Now they're afraid to be in my presence when I talk. Because they don't want me to see just what I'm doing to their souls. Say, oh, if he talks to me, and if he see what he's doing to us, you know he got us. Yeah. They don't have nothing to match what we got. No siree. No siree. Don't worry about that. Allah has given us the best. Right. But they have enough to recognize what we got. Oh, they got it. They got the gold. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. In my conclusion, we want to look at the last part. We want to finish this. Says, after he was resurrected, they saw him, right? And Mary went up toward him, the Mary Magdalene, not Mary the mother. She went toward him because she, you know, she was so thankful to Jesus because what he had done for her. And she went toward him and he said, touch me not. I have not ascended yet to the Father. Now, we should understand this. Because the Christians don't. Believe me, they don't. No. Only the very, very high up. Your brothers and sisters in the church, they don't know nothing. So what does it mean? It says, touch me not. I have not ascended yet to the Father. They couldn't tell you this. If they told you this, you would become your own leaders. It means Christianity is not fit yet for the true at heart, for the faithful. Touch me not. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Mean that after they discovered the knowledge, the hidden knowledge, what they saw, what was revealed under the covering was not fit for faithful, decent people. Touch me not. I have not yet ascended to the Father. The Word. Yes. Then he had to ascend to the Father then to become fit to touch. And you know, it's easy for people thinking naturally to say, oh yes, he wasn't fit to touch. He was dead. See the people used to didn't want to touch him dead, they thought it would be contaminated. You aware of that? Yeah, you weren't supposed to touch the dead. Dead body, you could get contaminated. You see, you could be defected. Infected. Defected too is right. So, says, touch me not, I haven't ascended to the Father yet. Meaning that once they broke the seals that locked up the wisdom, what they discovered under there was not the plan of God, but the plan of Satan. Then they had to then wait till God bless them with enough knowledge to rescue what God intended from what Satan had planned. So they could discern in that what is really God and what is Satan. So he said, touch me not, I have not yet ascended. And then the Quran comes, says, came down with him, and the light that came down with him. Right? So here it talks of Prophet Muhammad as coming down from the heavens. And it talks of the Quran, the Word, as coming down with him. Jesus went up. It is purity that ascends to God. And knowledge is given in return. Yes! And as a result, life and growth. Right? Yes, praise be to Allah. So Prophet Muhammad there in the scriptures, he answers that coming down. Jesus ascended. But now after he ascends, he has to come down. He has to return. The returning is Prophet Muhammad. Yes, the returning is Prophet Muhammad. Or the spirit of truth, or the teacher. The teacher, the rational teacher. So he said, touch me not, I have not yet ascended. Mean I'm not pure. I'm not pure enough. See, water as it's lifted up becomes pure. Men long ago discovered that. They would drink water from the in certain times or certain seasons, they noticed, or in certain situations, certain conditions, they noticed that if they drank water, they would become sick. But they learned that if they drank the rainwater, they wouldn't become sick. So that told them that the rainwater came down uncontaminated. Whereas the water on earth was contaminated. And they would see the haze rising up in the morning. And they knew that the water was drawn up by the heat of the sun, just like a pot boiling. The steam goes up. So they knew that the process of the vapor going up caused condensation as it would cause it on cold material down on the earth, it would cause it to cause condensation in cold regions of the atmosphere. And they knew from climbing mountains, from going up, that it was colder up there. So they figured out, just by reasoning, they figured out that water was, evaporated, and then condensed in cooler regions, and came down distilled, free of the germs and contamination. You see? So then they used that as a sign of man's mental sensitivities. How his mental sensitivities exist in polluted, contaminated culture and contaminated thinking. But how he cries to God and repents, and that causes his sensitivities to rise free of the corruption of the earth and get high enough to condense, get cool enough, unaffected by the passions of the world. It gets cool enough to concentrate, condense, and come back down and serve the world. You see? Well, that's symbolism. That's symbolism. But it shows you very clearly what it represents. What the scripture represents in symbolism. What it represents. Okay, so he said, don't touch me not. Touch me not, pardon me. I haven't offended yet. So the myth ascends. And then when it gets free of the contaminated world,
highly praises Allah, Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. There is nothing like unto him. It is said in the Quran that he exists uniquely and alone, requiring no mate, never gave birth to children, and never was born. This is Allah, the Lord of the faithful. Praise be to Allah Most High. And it is this Lord who communicated his message to a mortal man, flesh and blood, just like us. Peace and blessings be on him, the Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. He communicated his message to him and made him leader for all the people, a mercy to all the nations, all the worlds, a guide to the believers. And he has required of us that we worship none but him and associate nothing with him in the rule of the heavens and earth. He has required of us that we make not lords from among human beings, but accept that all of us are creation. And in his words in the Quran, Allah says, if he desire a son, he takes one from those he created. In other words, he does not birth children. He creates them. Praise be to Allah, Most High. It is important for us to understand the function and role of faith in the forming of friendships. I don't think we take people into our confidence and have them as our close friends until there's some indication that we can trust them. And trust means faith. Faith and trust are the same. And it's foolhardy of a person to take friends into their confidence, or people into their confidence as friends, before they have proof that there is a justification to trust such persons. A sign of social immaturity in people, a sign of undeveloped life, society in people, is that they accept strangers right away as friends. You do not accept strangers right away as friends. Let them prove their worth to you as a friend. And only after they have proven that they can be trusted as a friend, then you accept them as a friend. It doesn't mean that we should treat people with hostility that we don't know. It means we should treat them with caution if we don't know them. Treat them with respect, courtesy, kindness, as long as they come to us that way. But don't risk your own welfare with people until you establish that they are trustworthy. In other words, you don't even open up yourself. You don't relax your conscience. You don't relax your mind around such people, because they will interject you or inject you with influences that might harm you. Your guard will be down. Only after you know those such persons to be of good character, should you relax your conscience in their midst. Again, I say that the opposite of that, opposite of this, persons who do not practice this, the indication is that they are uncivilized, that they are immature socially. Now, you think of the great number of people that you are around all the time who rush up into people's faces and relax their conscience and relax themselves, and just met them today, just met them a minute or so ago. You don't do that. Muslims don't do that. Muslims are to be cautious. We are to accept Muslims as our brethren. But even the Muslim, if we don't know him, we are to reserve our feelings, reserve our judgments until we know him. Because we know the incident in the Sunnah of the Prophet, the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, where men were admiring a certain man for his devotional behavior. And they said of him that he spends his time mostly in prayer and fasting. And the Prophet says, who takes care of him? They said, we. Then the Prophet said, you are better than he. Then there's the incident of the fellow who the people were bragging about. And the Prophet said, do you know him? He said, if you haven't worked with him, then you don't know him. You have to have experience with people. You have to have experience that involves trust. See, when we take up a job together, then we are sharing in the completion or in the work of that job. And workers depend on each other for the outcome of a work. And if you let me down, I will know that. If I let you down, you will know that. Because we all have to do this job, whatever it is. So workers come to know each other because they all share in one assignment or one project. And if one lets the other down, it will be known, it will be seen. If one shirks on the job, it will be seen. If one does a bad work that it reflects on the others, it will be seen by the others. Say, hey man, why you do this? This reflects on me. We're all doing this work together. So Prophet Muhammad says, if you haven't experienced with the person, then you don't know that person. You have to have experience with the person before you can know the person. Experience that requires trust. And if they fail to trust, they are not reliable. And Prophet Muhammad has made trust so important in this religion. He says, one of the marks of a hypocrite is that he makes promises and fails them. Or you trust him with something and he lets you down. This is one of the marks of the hypocrite. Praise be to Allah for this religion. It is so precious to us that Allah says in the Quran, count not your religion as a favor to God. It is a favor to you. Some people think they're being good for God. They don't think they're getting anything out of it. Oh, I'm doing all this because I love God. No, you're getting the most out of it. God needs nothing from us. He appreciates the smallest amount of good that we do. But he needs nothing from us. Praise be to Allah. So it's important that Muslims understand the function and role of faith. As I said earlier, in the forming of friendships. In the forming of friendships. The dictionary gives a meaning for devotion. It associates devotion or connects with devotion mainly with religious or spiritual concerns. But we know we use devotion very, very generally. I'm devoted to my work. I'm devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to my family. I'm devoted to this masjid, et cetera, right? So we find that devotion is a word that's used for any kind of attachment, dedication, or commitment to something that's kept up with a feeling of concern for it, a feeling of respect for it, with a feeling of obligation. So this is called devotion, right? When this kind of attachment and this kind of service is strong and coming from the heart, we speak of it as a devotion. And we say, I'm devoted to my wife. And some, I think, the vows, the marriage vows in the United States used to include devoted, right? You have to include that you will be devoted to her, you see, and she will be devoted to you. Yes. So here we have devotion, and we have to understand the nature of devotion in the human being. Now those who have dismissed the idea of Allah, a ruler, a lord over them, why, their devotion won't include that. But we who claim to be religious people, our devotion must include Allah. Then, if you recall the last talk we gave, we were talking about the need to order our life with regard to the importance of concerns. Not to put a smaller concern, a minor concern, over a major one. Say if the house was on fire and the beans were burning, which one would you do? Look out for the beans or the house? So you have to put the major concern over the minor concern, right? You have to know where to put your emphasis. You may be hungry as a dickens. And the beans, you want to eat the beans, but now the house is on fire. So you'll forget about the beans and try to save the house, right? Praise be to Allah. Devotion and stratified levels of consideration. What do we mean by stratified? The dictionary gives stratified the social meaning of stratified. Because in the physiology, it has different meanings. But in social science, stratified refers to levels. Levels of behavior in society. Levels of concern in society, etc. It refers to the levels of operation in the society. Classes, etc. So, if we can understand our devotional concerns as concerns that have this stratification, they are levels. And if we include Allah in our concerns, then who is uppermost in our devotions? Allah. Allah is uppermost. And this should also indicate or give us some direction for deciding where we should put, where we should give considerations, where our considerations should go. Our considerations should first go to Allah, right? First to Allah. See, if we just remember to be intelligent in our religion, we will be best. Yes, foolish, unthoughtful, non-thoughtful behavior is what messes up the religion. Intelligent behavior, intelligent thoughts and behavior, oh, it will make us so beautiful. It will give us the best community if we follow intelligent thought and intelligent behavior. Allah Most High says in the Quran, آمن الرسول آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. The messenger of Allah, he has believed in what his Lord has sent down to him, as also with the believers. So here the believers are compared, are put together in one thought, one context with the messenger of God. What is that to tell us? That our faith is one. That the believer has the faith that Prophet Muhammad had. Praise be to Allah. And we know Allah graced him, blessed him with insight into many, many great wonders. We haven't come into those wonders, except maybe a little bit, some of us. But in terms of faith, we are compared. We are put in the same focus, and the same thought. The messenger of Allah, he has believed in what his Lord has sent down to him. And so likewise, for the believers, they have believed in what their Lord sent down. He didn't send it down to us. He sent it down to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have believed because it came from our Lord too. Also, right? Yes. It came from Muhammad's Lord, and it came from our Lord. The Lord of Muhammad is our Lord. And Muhammad is our brother. He is a mortal being just like us. Allah says, say, I am a mortal being just like you. So whatever Allah prescribed for him is good for us, because mortals have the same needs. Praise be to Allah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to Allah. And it goes on to say, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Every one of them putting us all together again with the Prophet. Didn't distinguish us from the Prophet in faith? Put us all together. They, each of them, or every one of them, believe in Allah and in his angels and in his books and in his messengers. Praise be to Allah. This is wonderful for the believers. Oh, yes. Now, on that wise is the developmental order of faith. Now, let's see, can we understand what we're saying here? That is, belief in angels is premised upon belief in Allah. What do we mean by premise? Substantiated. Established, judged proper, right, etc. All right? Belief in angels is premised upon belief in Allah. Belief in revelation is premised upon belief in angels. Belief in messengers is premised upon belief in revelation. This is what Allah tells us. That's what we get out of it. Allah reveals. Allah give us the words. And the words broadcast the messages to us as Allah pleases. And that's what Allah has revealed in this verse. That belief in angels is premised upon belief in Allah. Do you find people believing in angels that don't believe in a God? Belief in revelation is premised upon belief in angels. Do you hear anybody talking about revelation without including angels? And belief in messengers is premised upon belief in revelation. Do you hear anybody claiming the messenger and no revelation? Yes. Isn't it clear and wonderful? Very clear and wonderful. So you're a prophet, you're a messenger of God, where's your revelation? Tell us about the angels. You should be talking right if you're a messenger of God. And if you're a liar, the word of God will soon show you up. Come now to the second point here. And this verse is these verses that we have quoted from Quran, the divine word of God. Obligation to obey Allah should be understood too. With consideration for stratified levels of concern or authority, or an authority. Who is uppermost in the stratification of authority? Allah. Again, Allah. Everything reverses back to Allah. Allah Most High says in the Quran, and if you are in doubt on a matter, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Is that right? Refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Why Allah and His Messenger? Because they're dreamers. They're people with dream makeup. And they believe with their whole heart and soul that they're in communication with Allah. Yeah. So if he just say refer it back to Allah, you see, Allah says such and such. Say, hey, who are you? When did Allah speak to you? Where's your book? Where's your revelation? So, no. Refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Keeping us in touch with the natural order that Allah has created. For you do not come to Allah except through His works. And His works are natural works. And He has created a natural model man, Muhammad. And He communicated His message to the world through him. Now, you refer to Allah and His Messenger. So Allah now, how are you going to qualify it? Messenger. What kind of messenger? Spook? No. Mortal human being.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Thank you. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.